Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Iyer et al. Titled, The History of Matrix Metalloproteinases, Milestones, Myths, and Misperceptions. This article published online August 17, 2012. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief William Stanley, Lead Author Mary Lindsay, and Expert Lauren Wold. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. Healthy extracellular matrix is critical to maintain normal cardiovascular function. Matrix metalloproteinases, or MMPs, have received a great deal of attention over the last 50 years for their role in regulating the formation and structure of the extracellular matrix proteins and network. Investigators in the heart failure field in particular frequently use activation or upregulation of MMPs as a marker of myocardial remodeling or accelerated fibrosis. In this review by Iyer et al. From Mary Lindsay's group, they present the complexities and pitfalls surrounding measurement and interpretation of MMPs. So, Mary, what's the take-home message for researchers like me who live on the periphery of MMP biology?
Thanks, Bill. The main goal of this article was really to provide a succinct review that focuses the cardiovascular MMP community, but also those like you who are on the periphery, to better understand what the outstanding research questions are in terms of the MMP field.
So Lauren, what do you see as really the important aspects that come out of this review?
I think that one of the most important pieces of this article is really bringing together not only some of the latest advances in MMP research, but also looking back at some of how we used to think and revisiting it and realizing that what we've learned now has really changed some of our perceptions. And in this article, the authors have really done an excellent job of looking at some of the myths and misperceptions and bringing the data that we've learned to those myths and looking at it and realizing that we've come a long way and that some of the ways of thinking in the past are not entirely correct.
Mary, you know, in the old days, kind of the bonehead researcher like me would go in and do something to fix and prevent remodeling in some heart failure system in a dog, rat, mouse, whatever. And then we would measure, you know, a couple MMP activities and maybe some mRNAs, and then we would draw conclusions. Clearly, that was fairly naive. So what do you tell someone like me?
That's an excellent point, especially our lab, which is focused on MMPs. We really think about increases in MMPs or TIMPs as being the beginning of the story and not necessarily the end. The vast majority of literature on MMPs, particularly in the cardiovascular field, focuses on, like you said, does MMP 2 or 9 go up? Does it go down? What's going on with the TIMPs at the same time? However, if you really think about it, the increase in MMP is starting the cascade. What happens after that when substrates get cleaved and downstream signaling processes get activated? You know, how does that cause a remodeling to occur, for example, in the post-MI setting?
Mary, in terms of making a drug around MMPs, in the old days, 20 years ago, we were looking at trying to inhibit MMPs as a way to prevent development of heart failure and expansion of the chamber volume. And clearly, it's not so simple. I guess at this point, it's really only been used for gum disease and targeted local delivery of MMP inhibitors. But what do you see as the therapeutic potential in this area? Is it just a marker and clearly part of the pathophysiology that's downstream, or can you really hit it directly to prevent ventricular remodeling?
That's a very good point, Bill. A lot of the MMP inhibitors that were developed by pharma and by researchers in the 90s were developed when only the first three MMPs had been identified. And so in terms of specificity and selectivity, there was a tremendous amount of issues regarding focusing in on particular MMPs, for example. But in addition to thinking about which specific MMP should you inhibit or would you inhibit, you also need to think about the timing and the location, particularly in terms of cardiac remodeling and heart failure. the same MMP can be doing both pro and anti processes depending on when and where it's expressed. And a lot of that has to do with what substrate it's processing. And so in terms of therapeutic applications, in the late 90s, the MMP field really decided to step back from the therapies and think about more in terms of the biology and what MMPs are doing. And we're still very much in that stage.
Lauren, what are your thoughts on this?
I think Mary's exactly right. I think a true characterization of all the different MMPs and realizing now that they're not not necessarily always inhibitory, but have protective roles as well, and understanding each component, MMP2, MMP9, how they're interacting in different disease states will help for better therapeutic targets. And I think that in this article, they've really outlined a nice future perspective of where do we go from here. I have a question for Mary, and I would love to get the perspective of her group, and that is, we're really starting to understand and appreciate the importance of all the different types of MMPs and TIMPs in vitro and understand how they are either up or down in certain disease states. But I'm curious where you see the field in, say, 5 years, particularly taking this knowledge in vitro to the in vivo setting.
That's a good question, Lauren. In the paper, we provided a figure where we highlighted the three main areas that we really need to go from here in terms of driving MMP research in the cardiovascular field forward. One of them we've touched on earlier is understanding better MMP functions, but then also regulation of MMPs and TIMPs. How do they get turned on and turned off in addition to what's already known about their activation mechanisms? And then finally, being able to image MMPs in vitro and in vivo to show better what their functions are and where they're located. Combining those three areas, I think 5 years from now, we're going to know a lot more about MMP biology than we do even today. And of course, coupling proteomic techniques to MMP biology will be a critical feature of driving the field forward. As you know, I'm the director of the San Antonio Cardiovascular Proteomic Center, and that is one of our main goals, is to better understand how MMP9 in particular drives cardiac remodeling post-MI.
Mary, why this review now? What really made you want to pursue this topic?
Well, last spring, we had a series of journal clubs in my group, and this review article actually emanated from discussions that we had during that journal clubs. There is a lot of issues that my postdocs and graduate students raise, things they didn't understand, things they were misreading from the literature, or not quite interpreting in the correct way. And so drawing attention away from some of the past misstatements that have been made in the literature was something that was important for us in this review article. And then we also wanted to provide a nice summary for students who are coming into my lab, you know, something that I can give them to read, because they're always asking for, you know, what should we read? But then also for folks who are new to the MMP field or on the periphery, we really wanted to highlight what were the key myths and misperceptions, but then also what were the milestones, and how do we put that all together and then go forward from here?
What's really interesting is how certain people get married to techniques, and especially as it's brought out in one of the first misperceptions about using zymography as the key tool to assess MMP function. People also get married to, well, MMP9 is the only important MMP. And as we begin further characterization, I think that we're coming to understand that it's not MMPs in isolation. It's the combined effects of 2 and 9 and et cetera that is the important part.
That's correct. The systems biology approach of it all.
Mary, Lauren, thank you for a very interesting and lively conversation about this important paper. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.